Yeah, as we look in the Word, it's kind of interesting what comes to mind. We're always hoping that God brings our current circumstances into the reading of the Scripture, even though, of course, we know that the Scripture was written long ago to a certain people in a certain time, and it had its own location and all that. We have that Word as it kind of wakes us up as well. And so one of those things, as we kind of get into Psalm 55, one of those things that I was just noticing was, as I've been preparing my backyard for some gardening, doing lots of work, building a wall, my, kids have helped out and we've had kind of fun prep. And then we had this truckload show up. Finally get the load of block. And so I can carry a couple at a time. Most of my kids can't, so maybe one at a time. But together, you know, they're bringing things down. We're stacking things out, putting them as close to the wall so that I can add them into place as often as possible, getting really, really quite dirty. But we're building up a back section that used to just be ivy, and we're creating some flower beds to plant. We'll probably plant them with vegetables just for the season that we're in to make sure we've got some food coming in depending on the situation. But these are really huge stones and quite a lot to carry. And you can only carry as many as you can. Ultimately, you can carry as many times as you can, and then pretty soon you're just done. And the beautiful thing about Psalm 55 is it's got this statement in verse 22, literally throw your troubles on Yahweh is what this is what it means. Literally just throwing things onto God, casting your burdens, throwing things onto God. But what's interesting to me is this, this true human kind of pluck that we have. We rely on our resources, on our wisdom and on our resources as long as we can. Have you noticed that we're going to go as long as we can on our own strategies and our own resources, what we've got. And God is asking us right now, even while it's good, he's asking me, even while you're okay, to put all that on him. So I spent some time even just today reflecting, what are my burdens right now? What are the things that maybe I'm holding back? What are the things that I'm not willing to throw on to you, Yahweh? What am I holding back as it relates to, you know, just trying to be big and strong and carry as many blocks as I can? What is it? And I think for each one of us, it's going to be a little bit different. One of the things that I'm experiencing was that this level of this weight of kind of mourning, you can kind of feel it coming in waves of people that I love, a neighbor who lost a sister and can't meet with them anymore, friends that have a diagnosis of COVID, our own church family. That's, for me, that's a burden. You know, the financial state of the church, how are those things going to go? Those are burdens. But even just that weight of carrying other people's stories, that's been, for me, something I've just had to figure out how to cast that on, to throw that onto Yahweh as well. And the passage goes like this. It starts out, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy." Don't hide from me. "Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan. I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me." This is a psalm that is just deep into, layers deeper than maybe we are right now. But I bet we can remember back to those times when we were weighed down by this this kind of travail and struggle. It says, "I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. How many of us are thinking, like, if I didn't have to be here, where would I want to be right now? You know, this feeling cooped up and wanting to travel, wanting to be gone, but just to be away from the struggle. It says, I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest, the hurricane. I would just hurry to get away from there. And that's an experience that we have currently as we struggle with our own issues, our own situation, and as we imagine how things could compound here in the future. As we think about, as we've discussed, healthcare workers on the front lines, willingly going into these environments to be able to care for people that are struggling. There's a weight and a burden that builds up on us. Now, in this instance, we have a Psalm of David, and he had a personal problem going on. He had people that betrayed him. He had people that his own people, not an enemy from the outside, but a person became an enemy. Someone that he loved became an enemy to him. And I don't know if you've struggled with this the way I have, but I wanted to just spend a minute or two on this whole warfare stuff that goes on in the Old Testament, because I struggle with it, and maybe you do too, where you see slaughter the foe and send him down to destruction. If you read this passage all the way through in this psalm, it's all about just knock him flat, kill him dead, you know, do violence. You know, they meant violence for me, turn it on their head and do violence back. And so I just wanted to spend a minute or a couple minutes just kind of going through what I think is a way to understand the theology of warfare. And I won't bore you with it, so I'll go pretty fast. But just for us to be able to, how do we make sense of that kind of psalm in today's age? You know, after Jesus died on the cross, do we really have enemies that we want to go down to the grave and down to the pit? So just a brief excursus there, and then I want to come back to that, to throwing your stuff, throwing your burdens onto Yahweh. So here's a quick biblical theology of warfare from Genesis to Revelation. Okay, so just five slides. But phase one, you've got God actually fighting flesh and blood enemies of Israel. You see him supporting the Exodus. You've got this out of Egypt, and we're gonna kill the enemies so that Israel can flourish, because I have a plan for Israel. Through Israel, I'm going to redeem the whole world. So I've got to preserve Israel. Phase two, God actually fights against Israel. He says, you have been false to me. You have not kept your calling. You have not done this. You have not been faithful. You've not been a faithful servant of mine. And so he actually wars against them, and we see it all through the kings. And and then phase three, God says, I'm going to come and fight the oppressors of the people again. So those who are outside and pushing in on Israel, you see the exile and all these different times where God is actually fighting against to maintain this exilic people. And then by the time we get to Jesus, we just have something very beautiful and new that happens. Jesus comes on the scene, and immediately he draws the fire of demonic forces. And you see he's casting out demons, and he's calling out diseases, and he's healing people, and he's doing all this great work. And the battle intensifies as he draws the focus onto himself. He'll go onto a tall mountain and say, a mountain that was actually used for worshiping these other deities, and says, this is who I am. Come and get me. So he's actually drawing the focus of the enemy battle onto him. And that little phrase there, you don't kill these powers. I should say powers. You die to defeat them. And that's the way Jesus did that. And future and final, what we're looking forward to is this battle over human and spiritual enemies, where where it really will be the harvest, where it'll all be brought together and God will win the final war over all of the human and spiritual enemies. And that's what we look forward to in the second coming, when he finally and fully comes to rid this world of evil. So that's just a little framework to try to help us understand how do we read the Psalms, because I think we should read them for all they're worth, the Psalms of lament and the Psalms of mourning and struggle and God, what are you up to? Why aren't you acting? What is going on? Why don't you crush the enemy under my feet? Why don't you destroy them? Like, okay, well, this is where we're at in that pattern. So I wanted to help us just think through that real quick. But here it is in Psalm 55:16. After let death steal over them and let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But he says, I call to God, and Yahweh will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. I just thought that was beautiful for us as a path forward, to be thinking evening and morning. That's the way the Jewish mind thought of the day, right? Days starts at evening to the morning. So evening, morning, and noon. So all the different watches of the day. Are we keeping watch? Are we bringing our pleas, our moans, our complaints to him? And do we actually understand that he hears us, that he hears our voice, that he sees us? And so, you know, if you are in Christ, I just want you to know, I mean, that's the thing. If he sees you, he hears you, he loves you, and he wants you to keep bringing out the complaints, bringing out the moans, bringing out the utterances that are a little bit even too much to share. Sometimes my prayers have failed me. Over the last month, prayers have failed me, and so I go to music. All right, someone else pray for me. someone else bring that scripture. You know, bring that into that moment as well. And here's that verse that's just a beautiful picture. It says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved." And it's hard to know what to make of all that because the righteous fall. You know, we have deaths. We will have deaths of the righteous. But, you know, we also know that in the death of the righteous is a beautiful, sweet, and precious thing in the eyes of God. You know, we know that the loss of life is not overlooked by God. But the righteous won't be moved. And I think one of the things that for me, where I don't want to be moved is I don't want God to let things get to a point in my life where the enemy has his way, where I stop looking to God for help, for support, for comfort, where I turn to someone else to complain, to someone else to moan, to look to somebody else to solve my problems, look to some other scenario. Now, God may use a president of our country or a governor of our state or a mayor of our city to bring resources, but first and foremost, right? Can we appeal to God? And so that's where I don't want to be moved. And maybe you have a point in your life where you're like, God, don't move me off this spot. I just want to stay here with you. I want to read this version in just a little bit different version. It says, "Throw onto Yahweh what is given you, and he himself will sustain you. He will never let the faithful person fall down." That's a real literal reading on the Hebrew text there. Throw onto Yahweh what is given you, and he himself will sustain you. He will never let the faithful person fall down. So as we pray evening, noon, morning and noon, as we pray throughout the day through those different watches, can we cast on to him, throw onto Yahweh whatever comes your way? Can you deflect that and put that at his feet? Can we become a people, a church that says, God, what are you going to do about this? How are you going to respond? How are, because in a, and we keep our singular focus on what his response is going to be, as opposed to being so distracted. So that's my encouragement to you. And I really do hope that we can remain firm in our foundation as righteous, faithful people and not be moved.